Welcome to our study of Paul's epistle to Titus here on the Radio Bible Course. Can a man trust God? Well, can a man trust the Word of God? Well, God and His Word are inseparable. Just as a man's reputation depends upon his Word, so the reputation of God depends upon him keeping his promises. As the psalmist wrote in Psalm 138, verse 2, I bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy steadfast love and thy faithfulness, for thou hast exalted above everything thy name and thy word. And so Paul expresses in the opening verse of his epistle to Titus, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life which God, who never lies, promised ages ago. There are some men, I'm sure, who would dare say that they trust God, but they can't trust the Bible. Well, if that be the case, it's incumbent upon them to come up with what God has said, if the Bible is not the Word of God. As we said in the previous lesson, it is necessary that God give a revelation to His creatures. He needed to set the standard for their behavior. He needed to let them know what pleased the Creator. And without a revelation, men are free to do whatever they choose. For if God has not spoken, there is no God. The Greeks and the Romans had many gods, and their gods they thought were so far detached from them that they were totally unaware of the existence of men on the earth. Their gods would never dare speak to creatures. But the God of the Bible revealed Himself from the very beginning. In the garden, He spoke to man and woman. The God of the Bible is a God of order and a God of communication. He set the rules for man in the beginning. He told them what they could do and what they could not do. Throughout the Old Testament, the record tells us that God spoke to His people through the prophets. And what He spoke was confirmed because the prophets were tested. They were forced to tell something that would happen in the future. And if it did not come to pass, they were false prophets and they were stoned to death. But because God was speaking, He gave them the ability to foretell things that no man could know. And the Word of God was established as the Word from God. Now, God cannot lie. That's a truth of Scripture. Men lie, but not God. And for that reason, Paul opens this epistle to Titus by calling attention to the fact that although all Cretans are liars, and Titus was on the island of Crete, that although they all lie and have a reputation throughout the known world as liars, God cannot lie. As the Corinthians were known for their immorality, so the Cretans were known for their falsehood. Now, Paul doesn't accuse them of lying. Paul simply quotes one of their own poets in verse 12, where he said, One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars. God's faithfulness and God's truthfulness are brought out in a very pointed way in the story about Balaam and Balak. Balak was the king of Moab, and Balaam was a prophet. And King Balak called the prophet and wanted him to curse Israel as they came through the land of Moab. He feared these people. They had come out of Egypt, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and now were making their way up the eastern side of the Dead Sea, and they had come to Moab. They were located across the river Jordan from Jericho. And the king asked that the prophet curse them. And so the prophet, wanting to obtain money from the king, and he established 7 altars and offered a ram and a bull on each of the altars and then went up to the mountain to hear what God would say. And here is the statement in Numbers 23, an oracle from the prophet. He said, "The king of Moab brought me from the eastern mountains. Come," he said, "curse Jacob for me. Come, denounce Israel. How can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? From the rocky peaks I see them. From the heights I view them. I see a people who live apart and do not consider themselves one of the nations." When the king heard that from the prophet Balaam, he said, "What have you done to me? I brought you here to curse the enemies, and you've done nothing but bless them." And the prophet said, "Must I not speak what the Lord put in my mouth?" Well, the king decided to take him to another place and look down into the valley to see those thousands of Israelites there, a number which they could not count. And he thought perhaps he would curse them from another place. So they built there 7 more altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And then Balaam said, "Stay here and I'll go up to the mountain and meet with the Lord and see what he says." Well, the book of Numbers tells us that God met and gave a message to the prophet Balaam. And he said, "Go back to Balak and give him this message. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot change it. So it is with the truthfulness of God. Among men, promises are broken. Covenants are annulled. Treaties are disregarded. Men lie, but not God." When Paul the Apostle wrote to the Romans, he wanted to emphasize the truthfulness of God's character. And he wrote in chapter 3, "What advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way, first of all. They have been entrusted with the very words of God. What if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all. Let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak, and prevail when you judge." Paul there quotes from Psalm 51, the psalm that has become famous because of David's confession. And Paul in Romans 3 is writing about the unfaithful children of Israel. Since God had promised to bring them into the land of Canaan, their destiny rested not on their own power or strength, but on the faithfulness of the one who promised. God had to keep his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He promised that their descendants would inherit the land of Canaan, the land bordered by the river of Egypt and the river Euphrates. And so Paul is calling attention to the truthfulness of God, but he's also calling attention to this, that God's punishment of sin exhibits his faithfulness and his righteous character. The Israelites sinned, and God kept his word in punishing them. Now, that makes God reliable. His word is true. You can count on it. It's for that reason Paul wrote to Timothy in his second epistle, chapter 4, verse 1, and wrote, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth. Notice, to the truth, and that's the truth of God's Word. And what will they do? They will wander into myths, following fables. He told Timothy in his first epistle, fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And at the end of that epistle, he wrote, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid the godless chatter and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have missed the mark as regards the faith. In all his epistles, Paul is desirous to express the truthfulness of God, and so writing his second letter to Timothy in chapter 2, he said, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But why does it even have to be said that God cannot lie? Don't we all know that God is truthful and that God keeps his word? Well, God knows men, and he knows we doubt, and that sometimes we doubt his word and wonder whether it really is the word of God. The Apostle John, writing in his first epistle, points out that we not only can insult God when we doubt his promise, but we also make him out to be a liar by our doubts. Listen to what he writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne to his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You see, God has spoken first through the prophets, then through that great prophet and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he has given a testimony about Jesus Christ, his Son. And he wants us to believe not only what he has said about him, but he wants us to believe the message which Jesus himself delivered from the Father. Jesus claimed to be speaking for God and to be fully representing the Father. And so when he spoke, his words are the word of God. It's for that reason he said, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life. Jesus' words and the Father's words are equal. He spoke for the Father. In closing, may I say that these Bible teaching broadcasts are supported by believers. They have kept us on the air since 1986 and have adopted the Radio Bible Course as their ministry to the people in your city. Our financial supporters are pleased not only with our loyalty to the inspired Word of God, but also because they know that the gifts to this radio ministry are not used to pay salaries or benefits to anyone. The Radio Bible Course is a ministry of volunteers, people who desire to help you to discover God's truth in the Bible by verse-by-verse expository teaching. If you have been blessed with understanding by these Bible teaching broadcasts, please write and tell us about it. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.